called The Black Man Is God.
It's
called The Black Man Is God. Next album. This is for the children. You know what I'm saying? I got this idea from myself, of course, but this is for the children. I got.
Make this prediction. This will be the biggest upset in all fighting history. It'll be the easiest fight of my life.
You think your cousin can whoop me?
Huh?
You really do?
Huh?
Anybody on your watch? Anybody in my family?
He's young. He's handsome.
They know it.
He's a poet. A prophet.
Goal ain't have a net. Who would have dreamed from karaoke to cassette? I met OB as an OG in the section. Nah, I was legends, rest in peace, Pop's a legend, Mike Corey and Sean Jordan was the essence of the young chorus where we grew from. Seemed like a second, now they less important to the new sun. I guess today weighs more than yesterday, it's morbid to suggest that they will come for them too. When it's a brother younger than you, who humble and who? Used to coach him, night coast and blew up, who knew? He caught you on a rough night, you were stumbling through. Now he telling you to get yours, get yours.
All of you reporters made it hard on them.
Welcome back, people. Jay Hicks, Hip Hop Sports Support Podcast. Thank y'all for coming to join us on a Monday evening. I appreciate you. Today is Monday, August 13th, 2018. This is a special occasion, special edition of the podcast, not just because I haven't talked to y'all in a little bit and I needed to holler back at y'all. That's part of it, of course, but today is actually the 6th anniversary of HipHopSportsSupport.com. Give it up, y'all. Give it up for us. Appreciate it. 6 years in the game. HipHopSportsSupport.com. I don't know if I want to call it a birthday or anniversary, whatever you call it. I don't really know. Whatever it is, we've been at it for 6 years, man. And I appreciate everybody that's shown support, showed love throughout the process. And that's a lot of people. There's a lot of people to thank for that. Most notably, my wife and my family, my main man, Kenneth Hicks, and Anthony Houston, frequent contributors to Hip Hop Sports Report. All of our frequent guests that come on, Mark Hicks, Vince Hicks, all the other family and friends we've had through. We had some great guests, including Drew Joyce, LeBron's high school coach, came through and showed love. Roy Hall, former Ohio State Buckeye, came through and showed love on the podcast. We had Master Ace, legendary MC, come through and show love on the podcast. And we got another great guest for y'all this evening. My man, straight out of Cleveland, Ohio, another Brush High School alum. For those of you in Cleveland, you all know about Brush High School. We got a lot of alums doing major things, but we got a great friend of the show who's been showing support from a distance, and we've been trying to make this happen for some time.
Give it up for a long time.
Yeah, long time. Give it up for my man Ponzi Scheme. Scheme, what's going on, man?
What up?
Appreciate you coming through.
Happy to be in the building. Happy to show some support for such a great product.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Appreciate that. You know, we do what we can, and you know, I want to just put it out there that obviously life is kind of getting in the way of things. You know, it becomes more and more difficult to try to maintain this, you know, because I got a full-time gig outside of this, y'all. But of course, I do the website, and then I also do pretty much everything with the website. So whether it's writing, editing, podcasting, editing the podcast, all the promotion, all the social media, I run all of that stuff. And so we got, like I said, some contributors that contribute on the written end sometimes, and they do some research for us, and we appreciate them as well. But you know, it really is a massive undertaking to try to do everything that it requires to put out a good product. And you could put out a website and just just go for clicks, you know what I'm saying? And that's not what I've ever been about. I've never been about just doing stuff just for the clicks, man. And I know that that's how a lot of people got to get it, how they live these days on the internet. But it's something that just never really worked for me. I never really felt the need to pander to clicks, you know what I mean? So I'm not going to just put out something. I'm not just going to say something controversial without having any factual information to back it up. I'm not going to just go ahead and talk foolish just for the sake of doing it, or make stuff up like some people do and some outlets do, or clickbait. You know what I'm saying? I've gotten accused of clickbait a lot of times, but people don't really know what clickbait is. Clickbait is when you say something that's just really outlandish to get people to click on it, and the article is not either substantiated with any facts or just has no real relevance to anything that's worth that you can really back it up with, that has any kind of weight to it. So that's not what we do at Hip Hop Sports Report. We try to come with unique opinions and creative stuff and creative content, and we try to bridge these two worlds of rap and hip hop, or excuse me, rap and sports, that is. And we hope we did it in a way that's everybody can appreciate. And so anybody that's ever showed love, anybody that's ever liked our page on Facebook, followed us on Twitter, all of our frequent Twitter followers and people who interact with us on Twitter, everybody who shows love to the podcast, all the guests that we've had in the past, everybody who's had me on as a guest on their show, anybody who's told somebody about Hip Hop Sports Report, told their mama about Hip Hop Sports Report, anybody that's ever checked out the website, even if you just clicked on one article and then left, or shared an article or commented on something or helped create some dialogue, anybody that's ever showed love, man, from the bottom of my heart, thank you very much. I appreciate you. Oh, no, go ahead.
Man, and that's one of the most honorable things about the way you do what you do, is that, you know, you're genuine. One of the things that I like to say, right, 2018, if you ain't trolling, you ain't trying. And that's kind of, you know, where we're at now, is you have to, before you used to have to promote yourself.
Right.
Now it's just, you have to do whatever it takes to get people to look at me, from Donald Trump to Kanye, or, you know, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself on these subjects, but if you ever followed Hip Hop Sports Report on any social media platform, or listen to the podcast, that's, or just follow you online, just your personal page, that's just not the way that you get down. You don't. And a lot of times I'll look for that to see if, you know, something is a little more a spicy topic, to see if you will try to feed the beast, feed the trolls, or just try to get a reaction. And that's never been your thing, you know. And that's what genuine hip hop was put out there for.
Yeah.
Do your thing.
Yeah.
Not somebody else's thing.
Right. Absolutely.
I got to commend you on that.
Well, thank you, brother. And like I said, man, I mean, it's been a long time coming. I mean, we started from humble beginnings at HHSR. We started off with the janky looking website, and we upgraded the website. We started off without any intro music to the podcast. I was biting Just Blaze and Jay-Z once upon a time, and hoping that I wouldn't get sued someday. And then I was able to partner with a great artist out of Cleveland, Ohio, my hometown. And Scheme said, you know, he said, oh, Jay, I'm gonna hold you down, man. I got you with some music, you know what I mean? So, you know, we hooked it up, and you blessed us. And a lot of y'all maybe don't know this or realize this. Scheme is the artist that you guys hear or heard on the intro to this podcast. And we've had that music for a couple of years now, almost, I think. So, yeah, I mean, tell us a little bit how you actually got into making that song and that record, and what was the creative process behind that, man? Because you just nailed it from the moment. Because I ain't gonna lie to you, man. Like, when you sent me the track, I'm like, okay, I hope to God that this is dope. Because not that I didn't question your ability, because, you know, you've got some projects out there and you got videos. You can go check out his YouTube page, and, you know, we didn't see a lot of the work that you've done before. You know, we saw the Polish record, right? Saw the NYE record, right? And there are some other ones that I'm gonna let you go ahead and plug in a little bit, but I mean, you've been at it for a minute in the music game, so I didn't question the ability, but, you know, just was it the right fit for this website and this podcast? And so I was a little nervous when you sent me the file and I clicked on that boy, and one listen, instantaneously, I was like, I love it. This is perfect. And so I was so grateful for that. So thank you, man, again, for blessing us with that. But yeah, take me behind the creative process of how you came up with that. And I think you said your brother did the production for it, right?
He did. Apollo 97. Got to shout him out. My little bro, he's a monster on the ones and twos. I mean, he inspires me. I'm working on something that I got from him last week. And it's just, you know, as soon as you kick play, it's just like so much inspiration. But when I first was thinking about making something for the podcast, it wasn't nothing similar to what it ended up being, because I was thinking, like, I want to do something like pretty much really boom bap, you know, like that old school, like Primo kind of sound.
Right.
But when I heard the tracks of my little bro, and I start playing around with the Muhammad Ali sample,
love
and the ODB sample, I said, this is what we about to do. And, you know, I wanted to touch on some of the things that I feel like create a generational gap with sports, with hip hop, you know, and especially if you are an artist of your own or an athlete, you know, an entertainer, period, you know, it's a very competitive game, you know. You don't want to be looked at as a has-been or somebody that's washed or, oh, you couldn't make it in this era or, you know, vice versa. So I just wanted to touch on a few of those things very briefly, you know, and give you and bring that competitive nature to the actual song, get with the Ali, Muhammad Ali quotes in there. And that was actually before he had passed.
It was. So, as a matter of fact, it was
that was just something that was resonating with me at the time.
Yeah. That was like a week before.
Like Ho said, you open the doors to the studio and let God in. So it just came together.
That was like a week before he actually passed away, or maybe that same week that he passed that you sent me the track. And it was just perfect because Ali is a personal role model of mine, one of my all-time favorite athletes. And it was apropos, you know what I mean? It was just the perfect combination of, like you said, with the kind of, it had an old school flair to it, but it was still very much just something that spoke to what this podcast was about and the competitive nature of it. And the fact that, you know, we're underdogs, man. You know, you and I are from Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland, Ohio is the underdog city in America, the underdog capital of the world. This podcast is for the underdogs. This podcast is for people who are not into all that trolling BS that you mentioned before. That's coming for some real facts. It's coming for some real opinions from a real grounded place. And that was it, man. You hit it on the head. And the Ali quotes, like you said, that language that he was spitting, you know, all of y'all made a hard on listening. Never write about me again, you know, and never say I'm not big enough.
What he says with, this is for all y'all reporters out there. Don't ever doubt me.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, like, not anybody. You're not big enough, not fast enough to stop me.
Artist.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's such a negative connotation when you tell somebody that you're a hip hop artist. And it shouldn't be that way.
You've experienced that?
I'm trying to change that.
You've experienced that yourself firsthand? The negativity with
Most definitely. Most definitely. You know, even just the looks that you get from people when they say that you make hip hop.
Right.
They don't really take you serious, or they just figure, oh, you must be some ass out here talking about gangbanging and selling dope to the community.
How long you been spitting for real? Like for real, taking it really seriously?
Man, and we had, this was a little bit before your time, but at Brush, we had the Hip Hop Olympics.
Okay.
You know, Hershon, a bunch of Brush alum was in it, and we was battling, and we was doing it right there on the steps in front of Brush.
What?
I've been writing rhymes since like ninth grade, but, you know, it was never something that I never really tried to hone my craft because I really didn't have the ability back in the day, man. You know, it was studio time was expensive, man.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
Well, I remember there was a lot of cats that, you know, because you were a little older than me for taking y'all behind the curtain a little bit, but some of the, as a matter of fact, you just celebrated a birthday too, so happy birthday, Scheme.
Belated. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, but you know, there was some cats in around my era that was rhyming. You know, shout out to my man Doug, my man Bobby, my man Murda, my man who else was rhyming back then? Dorian used to rhyme. You know what I'm saying? We had a few cats that used to you know, drop some bars, and I apologize if I'm missing anybody.
And actually nice with it too.
Yeah. For sure.
Maul still.
Oh, of course, Maul. Absolutely, Maul G from Planet 10, of course. You know?
Yes, sir. But, and don't forget, and do not forget Pops. Because that I had to give him a shout.
Yeah, you did. You did put a shout out to Pops in there.
On my life as well as yours. Even more so for you and Kenny, I believe. Because that was your barber, if I'm not mistaken.
He was.
Y'all have been going to him for a long time.
So for y'all that don't know, or I may not have mentioned this at the time, but so my barber back in Cleveland at Legends Barbershop on Monticello, shout out to Legends. I went there for many years, as a lot of us from that area went there. And so my man Pops used to own the shop, and he used to cut my hair, and he was an influence on my life, no doubt. He was on our community and a lot of the youngsters around there, man. And he was a dude, you know what I'm saying? He was a really good dude. He had done some stuff, made some mistakes in life, but he had gotten his stuff together. And he was really a businessman, and he was really a good dude that had a lot of good advice. He used to give me just advice on life. He used to pull me aside. I used to come home from college, yo, and he used to cut my hair. He used to be like, man, when you going to marry that girl?
And that's all like Pops.
Yeah, and I used to just shake my head like, you know, like Pops. Yeah, you're right. And mind you, Pops is not, you know, we call him Pops, but he not Pops like John Witherspoon Pops. He's, you know, he was, you know, maybe about 20 years older than us, 15, 20 years older. You know what I'm saying? So he wasn't like an old man by any means. But, you know, unfortunately, he passed away a couple of years ago. And so that was right around the time that this had happened, too, that scheme had put this together for us. So he definitely put a shout out to Pops in the record. In the intro music, which I've been calling No Net to myself. I don't know if that was ever the official song title for it. Was that it?
It's going to be on the album. It's going to be called Hip Hop Sports Report.
Okay. I'll take that. I'll take that. Did you ever finish? Is this going to be a full song? Because I know we only got like pretty much one verse though for the podcast, but is there a second verse and some more pieces to it?
It's going to be a lot more. It's going to be a lot more to it. I'm gonna touch on a few more topics as well, but when you listen to it, I don't know if y'all want to rewind the podcast and listen to it again, but on the breakdown after I had shouted out Pops, the beat kind of dropped out, and you know, I was touching on how it is for artists or for athletes. You know, somebody that when you coming up, you know, you of course you're gonna have your role models that you see on TV, but you also have ones that
the Mike Corey and Sean Jordan.
What you want to do or what you want to be like coming up.
Right.
You know,
somebody and coming for your spot always.
I touched on like, you know, what it's like when you are the one that come back home from wherever you may have been or whatever, and the one that used to look up to you is now the man, and how that demographic is and how you might feel and who's really the underdog at that point, because you looking up to somebody that used to look up to you, even though they probably still put you on a pedestal. You know, it's a real interesting dynamic, man, that creates a lot of resentment and misunderstanding when it really just takes conversation.
It's similar to what Drake said back in the day when he said, your idols become your rivals, and then you got an AI for your survival or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was on his first album. But it's the same concept, though.
Yep.
You know,
exactly.
And so yeah, that obviously very dope record. And so we thank you for being a part of Hip Hop Sports Report to this point and going forward, because the podcast at this point wouldn't be the podcast without that theme music, man. But I brought you here, Scheme, so we could touch on all things hip hop that's going on right now. I haven't done a lot of hip hop related content in a little bit, and so I wanted to make sure that we dedicated the amount of time that it deserves. Especially given how eventful this year has been to this point. When I think of the major stories of the year, I think of the Drake Pusha T beef, right? And Drake essentially took an L off that. And I think people are pretty much convinced that Pusha won that, even though it didn't seem to impact Drake's sales or popularity in any way. I think of Kanye West and the interviews, the Charlamagne interview, the Jimmy Kimmel interview just the other day, the TMZ thing. He comes out, he's defending Trump. He does the boopity scoop thing. He's dropping records with T.I., defending Trump, and all this other stuff. And then he puts out like 7 projects back to back in June, basically, including his own record, which I don't really think got a lot of acclaim, but and it was on, and most of those projects were only 7 to 8 tracks a piece, and it seemed like maybe that was going to be the new wave or something like that. And then I think of the West Coast. I think of about how Nip Hussle kind of got the year off, started off right with Victory Lap. Mm-hmm. We've seen cats like YG have a major impact. We saw J-Rock's album receive a great acclaim critically, and so I think of the West Coast having an impact with some newer faces, not just the faces that we're used to seeing for years and years. So, what stands out to you so far this year as the biggest stories in the game?
Well, the Drake and Push beef was very good for the game. Very good for the game to see prominent artists not scared of being mean to death. You know, I think that a lot of people are just so scared of the internet, you know, scared of somebody making a meme out of you, out of a joke from a rhyme, that they're scared to jump out there. And I knew Push wasn't scared. He'd been doing that for a while, but
Drake
come out with them headshots for somebody that he probably had a pretty good idea was going to come back at him. I thought that was great for the game. It was good for both of their careers. You know, just gain some respect. Hop in the ring. Don't be scared to hop in, man. You're going to take a couple lumps. You might take a L. It is what it is.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't think that taking an L, it seems like taking an L today is worse than it's ever been. Like, generally speaking, people seem to believe that Jay took an L to Nas, right? That's kind of the general consensus. But it didn't stop Jay-Z's popularity from trekking along. It didn't prevent Jay-Z from ascending to the top of the rap game as an artist and as a businessman, right? So just because you go out and you take an L is not the end of the world, although it does appear to be worse in 2018 when you have the memes, you have the GIFs, you have social media. It's taken on a different animal. Like, look how they roast guys like LeBron for going to the finals and losing. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, winning a conference championship means nothing. You know what I'm saying? Either you win everything or you lost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up and brought up that parallel between Jay and Nas and the Push and Drake thing, because it's kind of similar to where Drake's diss in a bubble, for me as an artist, I feel like was better.
I agree. Original beat. Unpopular opinion, but I agree.
It was an original beat, original song, and it was kind of a little new for Jay, for Drake. And the same thing with Jay. The way he came with Takeover was like, oh my God, really? This dude really? And everybody jumped to the same conclusion. Nas is done. Nas can't, you know, he can't come back from that. Push is done. He can't come back from this. It's over with. And then Nas and Push both came back with the more scathing diss, but not necessarily the better diss, in my humble opinion.
So a lot of people thought that Push laid the trap for Drake. You know what I'm saying? Like, he'd been taking shots for a lot of years, and they had been kind of going back and forth or whatever with the sneak dissing, right? And then it finally came to a head, right? And then Drake kind of went all in, but Push had all this info and all this intel on Drake. You know what I mean? And so Drake kind of stepped into it. He came with bars, but then Push is like, okay, I got bars. I got this photo of you in blackface. I got all this other stuff. And Drake thought he had him when he did the Instagram post and was with OVO was basically charging Pusha T for like relevancy, essentially, which I thought was funny. But, you know, people...
Yeah,
he hit him with the invoice, exactly. And so people thought that was a wrap after that. And Pusha came back hard, but I agree with you, although I disagree from the standpoint. I do think Ether was a better diss than Takeover, but it's unfair to compare because he only gave Nas one verse, and Nas gave Jay 5 minutes, and people seem to lose sight of that. But I'm just saying, though, I do think that Drake's diss, as just lyrically, bar for bar, was better than Pusha T's, but Pusha just had the content. And when he dragged 40 into it, you know, and his disease, that was just, that was brutal.
And his daddy and his mom.
And the baby, right. The baby that he was allegedly covering up, all that stuff, blew his whole rollout for his album for Scorpion, right? Like, there was a lot of impact there with what Pusha did, but lyrically, I didn't think it was that impressive. I mean, do you think Pusha T gets a pass? I think he gets a pass, man. I think he's the Kyle Korver of rap, personally. Like, and that sounds insulting, right? But Kyle Korver is one of the great 3-point shooters ever in the NBA. He's up there, right?
Yeah,
But that's all he does.
A specialty type of artist.
But that's all he does.
Honestly, I'm not going to be able to give you 15 songs from Push that I actually like or listen to regularly. Drake, on the other hand, you know, I can give you about 25.
Right.
you know. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of more his lane. Push is more of a, you know, I'm cutthroat, you know. How dare you mention Kanye? I want all of my curses. You know, this is like somebody that loves for this type of thing to take place because that's his arena. You go step into that arena with Push, you know, you better be coming with, you better be willing to go the whole 9.5 because if you're going to go to 6, he's going to go to 12.
I mean, Push is a professional rapper, and I have a lot of respect for professional rappers because, but a lot of some of these cats that are coming up these days, they look like they're just looking at this as a hobby or as a come up or a means to an end, and they're not professional spitters, man. But Push is a professional spitter. Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying he's been on one topic for 15 years. You know what I'm saying? I was in high school when he came out. You know what I mean? And so we're talking over 15 years he's been in the rap game, and he basically talks about one subject. Now, I'm sure there's some hardcore Pusha T heads that are probably hearing this, and they're going to say, oh, you don't know the catalog, you know, because on this record he said this. And that, there may be some truth to that. But you know he's talking about bricks and flipping birds and I make your nose run, I make your nose bleed, like every record he's on, every feature he's on, every
The record, he's gonna do it probably every other bar. You know, it's not even
like multiple times in the same verse.
You know, likes to talk about one specific topic. He talks about that at length.
Right.
You know, but not even the most introspective topic. It's not really he's not really being super deep with it either. It's more surface type stuff.
But think about how we criticize Jay-Z for, you know, because Jay-Z actually, like, we know for a fact that Jay-Z, basically know for a fact that Jay-Z was actually moving work back in the day, you know what I'm saying? And was doing it on a semi-major level, going state to state and all that stuff. Like, that's pretty much been confirmed over all these years, right? But people don't let him get away with talking about that anymore. If he was still, like, Jay can't win. He's in a no-win situation because when he talks about the stuff that he's doing now, people say, oh, you just flashing money. And we tired of hearing you rap about money and how much you got. It's like, well, that's because he's actually worth $1 billion almost. But if he was to rap about selling dope, then people would be like, why are you still rapping about that? That was 20, 25 years ago. But Push doesn't. He gets away with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just funny how, like, you know, he's a specialist.
Jay is like pretty much a LeBron, where he's amassed so many accomplishments in his career that people are going to give him, you know, every little thing they go nitpick to try to act like, you know, he doesn't deserve that spot when he's, you know, it's earned. It's earned. He may have taken a few shortcuts the way LeBron did as well. He's very much so an opportunist dealing with newer artists that might be hot at the time. But what I can't say that there's any other artist that hasn't done that. It's a little different athletically with LeBron. You know, he definitely changed the game overall. But so did Jay.
Yeah.
You know, I play for the team I own, you know. you know, it's only so much you can really do, because when you really get down to the nuts and bolts of it, who's still nice?
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, still, to this
you
day.
You know, and been doing it for a long time and came in very dope.
Right.
So, you know, they gonna nitpick it, but, you know, it's only so much that can really be said if we talk actual factual. If you want to have a real conversation about it, it's what I always tell people. It's like, you know, these things are so much about opinion because we never were told that we should take, you know, sales or popularity into effect, because that's not really something that you can quantify as being good at your craft.
Mm-hmm.
Jay passes the eye test, man. He passes the earlobe test. You know, today, if there's a track with somebody hot and Jay's featured on it, you want to hear it.
Yeah.
Nas on it, you're not going to want to hear it. You want to hear what kind of bars you came, but you're not actually feeling like this is going to be a big record. Jay can do it like that. Jay can do it actually talking about his kids now. Yeah. Talking about family structure, talking about black wealth, black business, you know, these are all things that people used to say that they never heard from Jay. Now he's saying it and he still catches a raw deal. So, I mean, you know, they can nitpick all they want, but the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah, I can't disagree with any of that. Whenever I think of Jay-Z's greatness, or when I try to put it in perspective, I think of What More Can I Say, right? The opening bars. Never been a nigga this good for this long, this hood, or this pop, or this hot, and this strong, with so many different flows. This one's for this one song. The next one, I switch up. This one to get bit up. That was 15 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And it still holds up. It still holds up after all this time. But I want to go back to Drake for a second, though, man, because I'm just baffled. Not even baffled. I'm just amazed, astonished by the fact that he took an L to push a T, right? He does the blackface thing, right? Which ordinarily is like, you can't come back from that. The blackface picture comes out. He gives kind of a weak explanation for it, in my opinion. He basically said that he was trying to use his name. This is before he was a rapper, a known rapper, but he was trying to use his status as an actor, which he really didn't have none, to raise awareness to the difficulty of black actors getting roles or something like that. It sounded like a kind of a weak, lame excuse to me, and it was something that he did back when he was probably 19 or 20 years old. But I just, I don't understand how, like, he went from that to dropping his album, to breaking all sorts of streaming records, and everybody doing the In Your Feelings challenge, and like none of it matters. Yeah. Like how do you come? Like look at Kanye. Kanye puts on a MAGA hat, right? And people are ready to disown him. They're kicking him out the black community, snatching his black card and everything else. Drake goes out in blackface, and it's all Kiki. Do you love me? Do you love? Like nobody cares. How does that happen, Scheme? How?
Well, a lot of that stuff is that people say that should happen, like somebody should be blackballed or whatever. It only happened towards the end. Like, nobody that's really good at their craft, it never really kills them. I personally can't think of anybody that we really turned our backs on.
We as the black community?
Michael Jackson had the worst rumors that could ever be out about a person. You know, there isn't really anything where even criminals in jail turn against child molesters. You could be a murderer, you could be a mass murderer. If you're a child molester, you know, we got problems.
Right.
I don't think that there's, I think as far as art is concerned, if you're still nice, a lot of times what you do away from the cameras, it ends up being a footnote, man. It's not, especially when you're somebody like, it would be different if Drake was some type of Mos Def, you know, or Talib Kweli. He never really had that crowd to begin with.
Well, he was kind of a, well, yeah. I mean, he used to kind of, Drake used to kind of roll with the Backpackers for a little bit. You know, he had songs with Fonte and, you know.
But they didn't, they could only support him so much. You know, he got way bigger than that, and parlayed that into a much larger audience. So, you know, those people don't care if Drake guy has a white girlfriend or if he's a Republican. You know, those people don't. It's gonna have somewhat of an impact, but people still gonna, if the song still sound good, whether you are Kelly or whoever else, you know, people are going to listen to the music. They're gonna like it. They're gonna like to be talking about stuff that's popular.
It's just amazing. It's just amazing when you think about the way our culture is now, and how you have the outrage police. The outrage police are waiting on Twitter. They're waiting to sink their teeth into something like Drake and blackface. And it's like the only thing that supersedes something like that is his ability to make a record.
That Drake was gone. Did you think that it was going to be difficult for him after that? I didn't feel like it was going to be a bump in. I didn't even feel like it would be a bump in the road. I felt like the beef with Push was more important to people than the actual blackface. They kind of just like, yo, I kind of always figured like, why y'all been liking this corny dude? I've been telling y'all he was corny, and I kind of figured he might be somebody that would do something like that. You know, Drake done took so many L's anyway.
That's
like,
true.
With public perception, but just the way that he carries himself, and he doesn't really have a lot of edge, you know. So it wasn't that big of a, it was a very small blip on the radar to me.
You know, you raise a good point, because he kind of dances like a goofball on stage. He got curved by Rihanna at the MTV Awards. You know, he supports the Raptors. They get swept out and embarrassed by the Cavaliers every year in the playoffs.
He doesn't really dress the best. He still kind of looks like a nerd sometimes, wearing orders. You know, his image isn't really that street Southern edge anyway with it. So I just didn't really, you know, I didn't think that. And that, to me, was a larger reason why I thought he should have always been able to jump into the ring with people, because I felt like you're a good enough rapper. You can hold your own, dude. You know, and it'll actually do more for your image than it would hurt you, because we are happy that you even showed that you got the balls to do it.
I want to read off some statistics that I looked up in preparation for the podcast. These are records that Drake owns, and I don't know that people have kind of put what he's doing into context. You know what I mean? Drake had 1 billion streams for Scorpion. 1 billion with a B. 1 billion.
Wow.
He has the record for the most hot 100 Billboard songs at one time, which is 7, which was a 54-year-old record that was held by the Beatles. And their record was only 5 songs. So he topped that by 2 songs. You know what I'm saying? He moved 731,000 units for Scorpion in the first week, which is by far the most in 2018. He has 8 straight number one albums, which is tied for Eminem and Kanye and the Beatles for the most ever. So Jay-Z has the record, I believe, for most overall number ones, but consecutive number ones, 8 right now, is Drake along with M and Kanye and the Beatles. Scorpion set the record for the biggest streaming week of all time. Drake is the highest certified singles artist ever in the United States, with 142 million units sold on his singles alone. He has the record for the most singles gaining platinum certification in one day with 55. I don't even know what that means. Drake has broken his own record with Scorpion, which he now holds the title of the most streamed album in a single day with over 170 million streams. And if, in case those of you are wondering out there, I guess the Billboard 200 album chart tallies units from album sales. 10 songs equals 1 album, and 1,500 streams equals 1 album, I guess, listened to or purchased or whatever. So that just kind of goes to put in perspective. And there's the record about how he's like had a song in the Billboard 200 for like 8 straight years or something crazy, like 10 straight years. He's had some other kind of record like that. Like, I don't know that people understand the kind of giant that Drake is in music, man. Have we ever seen a run like this in hip hop? Like, I mean, hasn't he surpassed like Lil Wayne's run of like the 2005 to 2013 or whatever, and Jay-Z's run from like 98 to 2005? Like, hasn't this surpassed those?
In my opinion, he has. Who was the other person you said besides Jay-Z? Eminem?
I said Lil Wayne. I'm sorry.
Lil Wayne.
So like,
oh yeah, he's definitely surpassed Lil Wayne. He's passed Eminem. He's passed Jay-Z.
Like, just as far as like a block of time that he's dominated.
As far as popularity.
Yeah.
I'll tell you why, in my opinion. And this is the biggest reason why I felt like when he first came out, he should have never signed to Young Money, Cash Money, none of that. It's because we've never seen an artist that is as much of a chameleon as he is. And he pretty much created his own sound. That whole like underwater, that 40s sound, like that underwater kind of murky, kind of dark sound where he's half singing and then he'll rap when the beat drops out and you can barely hear the kick in the snare. I mean, it's just.
Yeah, he was doing that back on So Far Gone.
It was such a new and refreshing sound.
Yeah.
That we had never heard before. That I felt like you can start your own label. We've made it to that point now. It's like an artist coming out now that was so fresh and new. It doesn't seem like it can even happen. And it didn't seem like it could back then. It was like, everybody's going to follow the same blueprint. It's all been done. Everything's been done. That's how we felt. And here comes Drake. And it's like now with an artist like that signing underneath someone, why would you ever even think to do that when you hold every ace in the deck? Everybody has to come to you for hooks. Everybody, I mean, it's not even... It's not like you're selling yourself short because you're the new artist. You want to be heard as much as you possibly can. Maybe. There is no such thing as oversaturation when you're featuring on their records, you know?
Maybe he just underestimated his own ability at that point.
Yeah, I mean, to me, he surpassed them all, because the other thing that I was going to point on is that usually the one that's super, 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 super popular is not the one that is popular with us as well.
is usually the Caucasian audience.
Right.
Nelly, Eminem, Lil Wayne, when he was super hot, he was cool with us, but he was still just like, you know, still Lil Wayne. Girls liked him because he was super popular and, you know, they liked his image more than anything. He was thugged out, no shirt on, like 50, how 50 was. They liked his image.
Right.
Drake's image is not his driving his force. It's actually the music. And while he's not the greatest album maker, I really look at people sideways when they tell me that you don't like anything from Drake. Because he has a lot of different ways to do it. You know, and he can rap. I mean, I don't know if he can actually really sing, but it sounds good as hell. So that's the difference to me. You're appealing to the white audience, you're appealing to women, and you're appealing to the black audience as well.
Yeah,
you make popular music, and you can actually make music with the street dudes as well. So that, to me, is why he's the biggest chameleon that we've ever had, and he can do it in a lot of different ways. So, I mean, and it's not about to stop anytime soon. He's going to break all his own records. Another thing I was going to say about the streaming stuff is a lot of those stats are so new. It's just like how ESPN comes up with so many statistics for LeBron about he did this, he did that, he's the first one to do this, first one to do that. It's like, we've never even seen this statistic before to compare somebody to it.
Right. And I'm glad you brought that up, because that was another way I was going to take the conversation, was just, what are those, because a lot of those records that I just rattled off to you are streaming-based and streaming-related. So what does that even mean, though? Like, this is 2018, but like you said, it's like advanced analytics in basketball. You know what I mean? Like people know points, rebounds, assists. People don't know win shares, box plus minus, and offensive efficiency. That's the stats that only the nerds know. You know what I mean? So what do these streaming records mean? Like, there's no context for it right now. But you know what Drake does is that he gets the articles. He gets the headlines, right? So when he breaks a streaming record, there's a headline out there that says, Drake broke another record. He's the highest selling artist. But we don't even know if the Billboard conversion chart that I just rattled off a minute ago is even accurate. Like, how are we to know that that's what equals an album sale? Says who? Says them? They just get to be the end all be all? Like, I don't know if that's the way that it should be.
And that's the Pandora's box, because he can use that, and he's very witty. Like Jay-Z, like you said, you know, he's able to use all these things to his advantage. There's never been a nigga this good for this long. You know, it's over a good beat, it's over a dope beat, and we want you to talk that mess. We want you to, you know? So when you can do it witty and make it sound good and rhyme, and, you know, Drake is good at that, man. He's good at, you know, boosting himself up and talking about how everybody sounds like Drake featuring Drake. You know, it's like,
he did say that.
That's dope to us. You know, that's what we want you to talk about.
My Mount Rushmore is myself with four different expressions.
Say that again. Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. Drake, you said it right when you said that he keeps the street dudes together with, you know, with bars like that. He entertains cats like you and me. He entertains the ladies. You know, the ladies like the singing. They like all that stuff. And then he entertains the white audiences when he's able to cross over, and he makes songs with Rihanna, and, you know, and they those songs blow up. You know what I mean? Like, he's
the thing is with the ladies, though. The thing that a lot of people don't appreciate is his vulnerability. While the man may have went out and got a ghostwriter, which is the big ass elephant in the room all the time when you talk about Drake, to me, I always question, why did he even do it? Because his pen is very dope as it is. You didn't need to delve out and hire whoever to do extra heavy lifting for you, especially in the information age. Eventually, that kind of stuff is going to get out. But this is what I was going to touch on. The way we get on Pusha T about not having things that are a little bit more below the surface, things that may have multiple meanings, things that may be a little deeper. Drake doesn't have that either. That's why his albums aren't as cohesive. You know, it sounds like it could be just a mixtape. It's a bunch of songs put together. There's no real meaning from one to the next. But where his pen comes into play is his vulnerability with the women. He really touches on a lot of sucker stuff that people would have never talked about before. Deciding that I want to drunk call a girl and tell her that she shouldn't be with her dude. Like, who would ever do something like that?
The Canadians, I guess. I don't know. Who knows?
But the women know the ones that do.
You're right about that.
And the dudes ain't going to post it on Facebook saying they do it, but the girls know. And
they know.
A lot of the vulnerability that he touches on that's so real to them and it resonates is the genius of his pen. It's kind of like R&B music, he puts his rap twist on it and, you know, he comes out with a few gems.
I mean, you have rapper Drake, you know, you have singing Drake. There's different guys, you know, and he puts out an album and it's 15 songs. He does 7 songs rapping, 7 songs singing, and then there's an interlude. You know what I'm saying? And that's there you go. Like that's kind of been his formula, but it's worked for him. It's just amazing again that just the level of popularity that he's ascended to and the fact that his ability to make music. I mean, the guy's a walking hit factory, and the music that he makes transcends all the negativity. It transcends the fact that he's corny. It transcends the fact that he took an L because he was wearing blackface. It transcends the fact that he lost the battle. It transcends, you know, anything negative that you could be that could be applied to him. It doesn't seem to put the least bit of dent in his status and his sales, and he doesn't appear to be slowing down.
Let's keep it hip hop though as well, because when his numbers are crazy, don't get it twisted. But when did we ever start handing out any type of crowns to people because they had numbers? He just dropped a double album, and is anybody even remotely talking about making it a classic? Even with all these numbers, I mean,
yeah.
Kiki, Do You Love Me? I mean, if that didn't drop, would we even still have been talking about Drake outside of the stats?
You actually kind of stole my next point because that record kind of, yeah.
You know, they stream because it's new. It's the newest thing that, you know, people want to hear.
I think Scorpion was a decent record, but I definitely think that the Kiki Challenge or the In My Feelings Challenge, whatever you want to call it, kind of saved the album. Like, sort of, you know what I mean? I won't say saved it because, you know, he would have done numbers regardless, but
it overshadowed the LT to me. And there's a couple songs on there that I really like. Like, I really like the Mob Ties song.
Yeah, I like that one too.
It's a couple songs on there that I really, really do enjoy.
I'll tell you this, the second verse.
It's a broken record with Drake with me. It's like, I always want to hear what he's going to come with, but I'm never overly, it never exceeds my expectations. I'll put it like that.
The second verse on Emotionless, I think, is one of the best verses of the year.
Oh, yeah. I like that record, too. I really like that record.
Yeah.
I really like that record. I just wish he would challenge himself a little bit more. And it seems like he does sometimes, too. But it's not challenging in the way that I would want. You know, I want him to really delve out there into, like, a storytelling, like, Nas type of. But that's just me being selfish. Because of me being a hip-hop connoisseur, it's like I want him to try these things that may not be for R.B. Graham. That's not maybe not be his way of expressing himself.
So let me ask you this, Dan.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I didn't mean to jump in, but I just wanted to ask you, because you mentioned, you know, artists that are willing to try new things. That's Kanye West, right? Where do you shake out on all this Kanye stuff? Like, again, because we touched on him a little bit earlier, but I mean, he's been all over the place this year, and it may be all just a big marketing ploy. Maybe all this Trump stuff and all this craziness and dyeing his hair blonde and getting fat. Maybe all this stuff is just.
I can go on for hours about Kanye, so you're gonna have to keep me on the right track.
Okay, we only got about 20 minutes left.
What you want to hear about? Because I got a lot.
We only got about 20 minutes left, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on. Number one, the work that he's done, his album and the other albums that he was affiliated with that came out this summer. What do you think of those? And just the overall presentation, is it all for show? Is it all for something else? Is it, you know, should we buy into it? Should we disown him?
Issue, and it's a substance abuse issue. I feel like stardom, popularity, and the fact that his music isn't getting as much burn as he's used to, all creates the perfect storm. And back to 2018, if you ain't trolling, you ain't trying. Of course, it's all for show. Even the Whitney Houston death scene for Pusha T's album cover was just trolling. There wasn't no real artistic way that you can even attempt to shape that to me. As like, yeah, we talk about dope, we talk about substance abuse, unless he's trying to let everybody know that he got a real problem. Mm-hmm. That was all Kanye. That Push didn't even want to do that. He had a whole nother album cover. I'm not a fan of that kind of stuff, you know. Especially now. Especially now. I can't underline that or bold that enough.
So you thought Nas,
Nasir Jones.
You thought Nas, like, I don't want to go as far to say sold out or sold himself short or something, but you thought, you're saying that you thought that Nas did something to compromise who he is as an artist by working with Kanye.
100%.
How so?
I was sitting down with Common while he was here for the Tri-C Jazz Fest. Went to dinner with him. I went to a show backstage at his show. Went to dinner with him and sat down with him. And I wouldn't let myself try to play some music for it. Was a bunch of us in there. It was about 15 of us having dinner, drinking. We had a lot of drinks. Tommy was feeling good. We was all feeling good, comfortable. While I wouldn't reach deep enough to try to play some music for him or nothing like that, but I needed to ask him this question. You know, how do you feel as an artist when you have so many people in your ear that are trying to sway you, or you as an artist influence your paintbrush, for lack of a better term? And he broke it down. He said, you know, there's always going to be that. There was that when I was a starving artist. You know, of course, there weren't as many people, but you can never let anybody grab your hand and help your painting. You know, it's your life. And that's what I feel like Nas did when you are just lining up. You get in a single file line with a bunch of other artists. None of them are as large as you are. It might have been a little bit more believable if there were people that were as large as him that came out with 7 song LPs. We haven't heard from you in years. We needed a full length LP from you, dude.
I mean, he was definitely influenced by Kanye. I mean, it sounded like Kanye was trying to, it seemed like he was trying to start a new trend. And the 7 song LP fits right in line with the society that we live in now. Instant reaction, instant gratification. You know, an album drops at midnight. It's 7 songs. People listen to it, and by 12:35, they're declaring it a classic. You know what I'm saying?
Like, but I disagree, because that's the thing. If you try, when you're trying so hard, that's usually your downfall. Try hard to portray yourself in the truest form. Look at what all the statistics you just ran off. That was a double album. And a lot of that helped him have so many songs.
Absolutely.
On the charts at the same time.
Absolutely.
If he came up with a 7-song LP or EP or whatever, I don't even know if that qualifies as an LP. But he wouldn't have been able to have that many songs out there. You don't try to beat the system. You know?
Steer into the system. So much. Lean into it. I mean, like, so Wiz Khalifa's album was like 25 tracks. Travis Scott's is like 19 to 20. Nicki Minaj's is like 17, 18, right? So some people are going the other way. You know, they're not everybody's jumped on board with the 7-track thing, but you're absolutely right. When you put out a double disc and it's 25 songs, all those individual streams for those individual songs count towards your total, and it skews the data a little bit, right?
So I'm only going to be able to stream a 7-song album so many times before I'm tired of it.
It's true. Let me ask you this. Do you think Jay-Z and Beyonce did Nas dirty by dropping a surprise album 24 hours later after Nasir dropped? Or do they not owe him anything?
Absolutely not. That's the thing. We overanalyze. Of course, there are going to be people who will always have an axe to grind with Jay, have an axe to grind with B. I think that was the most powerful release of the year. Because
really,
it's never been done. how long have we been hearing about people? I never thought it was really going to come out, a J&D album. How long are people talking about eventually they going to come out with a little song, their little album together, and it's going to be trash, and blah, 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 blah. You know, he's Miss Knowles now, Mr. Knowles now, Jay-Z, Sean Knowles, you know, all of that kind of trash. But when you undress all of that and get down to the music part of it, the album was strong. The album was strong. And these are two prominent, very well-known, very accomplished artists. Do we really want to reduce them to all they were really worried about was trying to outdo Nas' seven-song album? They're artists in their own right on a global tour.
So I don't think they were trying to. I don't think they were trying to outdo Nas.
Maybe they planned a long time ago to actually coincide with their tour.
I mean, I think that's more likely. I don't think that they were trying to outdo Nas. I just think that it came off like they, you know, that they didn't.
Yeah, like
they didn't consider Nas.
They didn't consider him. Beyonce, so of course, anything you do is going to drown out whoever had something right before it.
Right.
But I mean, so when would it have been the right time to drop it? Whoever it was,
yeah,
that dropped right before it is going to look like, yo,
somebody's going to get it. Somebody's going to get this work.
To me, musically, man, I mean, I think they did it very deliberate with the way that they did it. It was very deliberate, timing wise, all of that. Of course, like I said, Jay and Nas have so much history. You know, they have since squashed a lot of that beef, but, you know, a lot of people they haven't made as much music lately together, because Nas really hasn't made as much music, period. But to answer your question, I feel like, you know, they probably had that date circled well before then and didn't owe an explanation to anyone, just because their assistant might have showed them that this is something that people were saying on the internet. Everything doesn't deserve an explanation, because it's so, some things could be so absurd that it's like, really?
Yeah.
Really? I'm one of the most popular artists in the nation the same way Drake is, or Nas, or whoever else. Why can't I drop when I drop?
So I'll say this about the Everything Is Love album. I liked it. I liked Ape Shit was okay, but
That's probably the worst song on the album to me.
I mean, I don't dislike it, but at the same time, I kind of roll my eyes at it at the same time. You know, Jay-Z trying to sound like Quavo or whatever, you know. we don't need that really. But
the more I listen to it, you know, cause it's the first single.
Right.
So a lot of times it's going to be like that, right? With most of the most very prominent artists, the first single, especially with the old format, the first single that somebody will come out with is usually the one that's like, But Ape Shit, I would probably give that maybe 2 stars. And every other song on the album is at least 3. And that's going 0 to 4 or 1 to 4.
So I would say Black Effect is the best song on the album. And
very strong.
And I would say and I really enjoyed Boss. And I really enjoyed Nice. I don't know that everybody likes Nice, but I like it.
I like Nice, I like Summer.
Yeah.
Summer was so strong because of the tone, and then Jay's verse. That was a dynamic. Who would have known that they even had the ability to come with records like that?
Yeah.
We've never known y'all to be so cohesive, husband and wife.
So
on songs like that, you know, there are a few songs that I like, but from them together, but the percentage was lower than it was to expect an album like that.
So I'll say this. I think Jay-Z and Beyonce have kind of steered this thing into the perfect lane for them. So obviously they had the infidelity thing. Some people believe it was all for show and it was all a ploy for album sales or whatever. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Who cares? They did that, right? And then Beyonce got Lemonade out of it. Jay-Z got 444 out of it, right? Both classics, you know, both Grammy nominated. Jay should have won a Grammy for 444. He got robbed out of the Grammy of the Year and the Album of the Year. But and then they come together and then they make this album together, right? And now they've set themselves up to do this dual act going forward for as long as they want to do it. So, because they're basically the new Sonny and Cher of rap music. You know what I'm saying? They're the rap Sonny and Cher now, and they make music for married couples. You know what I mean? That's the part that's kind of dope to me, because as a married man, I can say that Jay-Z and Beyonce's music together is something that my wife and I enjoy together.
Never been done, and they don't even get extra points for that from people.
Right.
When they really should. They really should get astronomical points for delving into. Remember how we were talking about a few minutes ago about challenging yourself? That was the ultimate challenge. Well, people act like it was the ultimate layup. Their approach to it made it the ultimate challenge because it had never been done. There have been people collabing together. That's why, special shout out to the Circa.
Big shout out to the Circa.
I made that post about that with all of the collaboration albums that people have done. You put that up there with Watch the Throne? I do. I think they are one in the same as far as the enjoyment that I got of it. To take it a step further, I got more enjoyment out of this one the first time around than I got out of Watch the Throne. Was more powerful than more grew on. But this one, I took it for face value and was highly impressed.
Do you have a lady in your life scheme?
at the present time, I wouldn't say it's anything that's worth speaking of.
Okay, the only reason I bring it up is because I'm just kind of underscoring the fact that I think that is enhanced if you are in a relationship with somebody. You know what I'm saying?
So, I appreciate that 100%.
Yeah.
Especially when you're trying to build for the future.
Right.
You know, you're trying to, we trying to do this together. You know, friends, even friends. You know, I ain't going nowhere if me and my wife beef. I ain't leaving. Period.
Right.
This is us.
Right.
Our kids, our family, our kingdom that we trying to build.
Legacy, you know, right?
And that was never the case before. It was always bros before hoes, right?
I mean, and Jay-Z was at the front of that line. I mean, like, it was always big pimping and this, that, and like, having a girlfriend was never cool in rap music, let alone a wife. And then actually making music with that wife, you know what I mean? I mean, maybe we'll see Papoose and Remy do a record together, like, or maybe they already have. I don't even really know, to be honest with you, but... You know what I mean? Like, it won't be the same. And like, how many examples can you even name of a power couple coming together, getting married, and then making music together and going on tour? To your point, we've never seen it. So it sounds like you would rank this amongst the best projects of the year that you've heard to this point. I wanted to just get your thoughts real quick before we go on just what do you think the best projects are of 2018 to this point. So just a couple other names I want to just drop in there that we haven't really had the opportunity to touch on. So Cardi B's album came out, was actually better than what I expected it to be. I wouldn't call it album of the year or nothing like that, but it was, you know, better. Travis Scott's getting some album of the year buzz. Again, I would not put it in that category, but I'm a little older, you know, so it's a little harder for me to kind of get.
Heard really good things about that Travis Scott
part. Yeah, I mean, I heard he's got a couple good tracks on it. He got a track with Drake on there where Drake was about to spaz on the record and they changed the beat for no reason and ruined it. But I mean, so Travis Scott gets some attention. We haven't talked about J. Cole. I like J. Cole as an artist, but I seem to be enjoying his music less and less the older we all get. It just, like, I didn't, the KOD record, like, I listened to it for, like, maybe a week or two after it first came out, and I haven't really touched it since. And then I mentioned J-Rock earlier. There's Royce da 5'9", the Book of Ryan album's getting a lot of buzz, and Victory Lap, Nipsey Hussle getting a lot of buzz. So what's impressing Scheme the most this year besides Everything Is Love?
Okay, so besides what? Everything Is Love. Besides that?
Yeah, besides that.
Okay.
Unless you put that number one. If that's number one for you, that's cool.
Well, impact wise, I will put that number one. But as far as my artistic palette is concerned, I definitely want to hear that Travis Scott, because I did hear one song over there. It had a video, very artistic video, and it was something that had to do with religion, and it was very, the imagery was very
very strong. I definitely want to hear that. I haven't heard that. I like that Thought record with Nice.
So that was another one. That was another one.
I really thought, man, he's a little slightly overrated to me just because of how much our heads want to put him as the GOAT. And I don't think
I've never heard anybody put Black Thought
yet.
Overrated.
And
in
if
same
he's not
sense.
Ready now, you know, when is he gonna be? But that record was mean and vicious to me. I like Nipsey's record. Really enjoy it. Kanye's record, I didn't get a chance to touch on that. That dude, man, he's so entrenched in the music, the culture, the sneakers, the trolling image. He's so deeply entrenched in it that I feel like if he would have dropped a full-length LP this time, I think it would have been a classic. I like his little whatever seven records is. But because of I like him as an artist, like the ones that I like aren't even really that hip-hop oriented, like Ghost Town. I really enjoy that because of the envelope that Kanye pushes. You know, it's like a Kanye record. Nobody else can make a record like that. It's very dope. I'm a fan of that kind of stuff. Nas record, it's the first Nas record that I didn't enjoy in my life.
Let's Game Down.
J. Cole's record. Very strong. I feel like he decided to name it the way that he named it because he knew a lot of this stuff that he talked about was substance abuse and he didn't want to seem like he was glorifying it. So he took the easier way out and said, you know, that's the image that I'm trying to portray for this LP is that, you know, I want to touch on those serious topics. And he actually did. I just feel like he did it after the fact. I don't think it was intentional or original. There's a couple of songs on there that really resonate with me for personal reasons. Like, song, what is it? Of an Addict. Something of an Addict. Where he was talking about a child growing up with a mother that very emotional due to things that she's experienced. And she drinks a lot. And how that can affect the family dynamic. That song to me was exceptional. Exceptional. Cole has come a long way as an artist. But yeah, I'm the same way like you. His albums don't last as long to me as I wish they would. And that's the leg up that Kendrick has over a lot of artists to me is that his albums are so in depth that they last longer because you still pick things up further down the road where Cole is more of a surface type artist. But yeah, all of those records resonate with me. With Everything Is Love resonating a little bit more because of Jay's cachet and the way he did it. It wasn't super deep, but it was deep enough.
Right. We're about out of time, man. But thank you for stopping through and blessing the podcast. You bless every podcast, Scheme, because you come right out. Your voice is the first. I mean, after ODB and Ali, your voice is the first voice that people hear on every single podcast, man. So you bless every podcast. But thank you for blessing this one. You made this one our sixth birthday extra special. And I meant to shout out my man Nobi the Great also when I was listening to all the history of Brush Spitters back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Nobi gets a shout out. Of course, I love you, bro. Where can we find your music, man? Plug yourself real quick.
Let's see. My website is not up right now, but you can always check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/AmongstKings1. That's AmongstKingz1. The number one, not spelled out. You'll be able to tap into a lot of my stuff. Also, I'm on SoundCloud. Ponzi Scheme. I can't remember if it's an underscore in between Ponzi and Scheme, but I'm sure you'll find me Bandcamp as well. I'm on there, my Peace record. But I got new music to come. If we had a little more time, we'll just touch on a little bit of that. But yeah, check me out. I feel blessed to even come on Hip Hop Sports Report because the way you do it is the way it's supposed to be done, man. So much
blessings and much success to you in the future, brother.
Thank you very much, man. And I'll tell you what, since we ran out of time, the next time you, when your music is ready to come out, we'll bring you back on the podcast and we'll talk all about it, man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you guys for joining us. 6-year anniversary, Hip Hop Sports Report. We out of here. Peace.